Mr. Chief Justice, may it please the court. The issue in this case is whether bakeries, such as Krispy Kreme, must charge their customers the low food tax rate, which was expressly prescribed by the legislature, for items that are qualified food, or whether instead they must charge the higher general tax rate. There is no dispute in this case that Krispy Kreme's products, donuts, and drinks that are at issue in this case are qualified food for the purposes of Section 144.014. The only issue in this case is whether Krispy Kreme stores satisfy the 80-20 rule of that section. The purpose of Section 144.014 is to allow consumers who do not qualify for food stamps to buy food of that type at low rate at a greater number of food establishments. The director's interpretation nullifies that statutory purpose, and it forces these consumers to pay a higher sales tax. The director's interpretation cannot be reconciled with the language of a statute, read in its proper context, nor with the director's own regulation. Turning to the language of a statute, the statute expressly says that establishments such as restaurants, fast food restaurants, and eating houses can qualify to sell the qualified food at the low food tax rate. The director's interpretation will effectively read out those words of a statute because it would make it impossible for any such establishment to satisfy the 80-20 rule. Therefore, the director's interpretation, which says that food prepared for immediate consumption is synonymous with ready-to-eat food, simply cannot be correct as a matter of statutory interpretation. But moreover, I would turn this court's attention to the director's own regulation, which explains and implements that statute. And that regulation, which was enacted the year after the 1999 amendment of the statute, expressly says that an establishment which sells cold salads and cold soft drinks can count that food towards satisfying the 80-20 rule. Therefore, the director's own interpretation precludes the interpretation that she now proposes, which tries to define the food prepared for immediate consumption as any ready-to-eat food. Neither before the Administrative Hearing Commission, nor in the briefs before this court, did the director ever explain how the current interpretation that she proposes can be reconciled with that published regulation. But the director cannot change retroactively the interpretation of her own regulation to detriment of particular type of consumers and taxpayers. And the director also cannot amend the existing regulation without going through the proper notice and comment procedure.
Can you address the prepared for immediate consumption and what that does mean? What do you think it does mean then? If it doesn't mean ready-to-eat food, what is the words prepared for have to have a meaning? And interpreting the entire phrase prepared for immediate consumption, how do we define what is prepared for immediate consumption and what is not?
Absolutely, Judge Schiff.
It's not by if it's actually consumed. I know you both agree. So what is it by?
We believe that phrase prepared for immediate consumption, particularly when read in context of the examples of establishments that may qualify under the 80-20 rule, we think that it connotes at least a temporal element. And you can look at the dictionaries. You can look also at the what we think is the only case by another state Supreme Court, the Supreme Court of Illinois, interpreting similar language. But most importantly, we looked at the meaning of that phrase in the federal regulations, because that is really the meaning that is adopted and followed by the food industry, and that's relevant to the definition. So we think that that phrase means that there has to be some period of time that elapses between preparation and immediate consumption for
But you're getting to what the buyer does, by how long they take to eat it. And the statute seems to be directed towards what the company does. It's prepared for immediate consumption. So if somebody came to the Krispy Kreme restaurant and three busloads of visiting tourists came and they ate every donut, those would be immediately consumed, but that really, and they'd be permitted to. It's not like you're saying, no, we're holding back 20% of these because we're going to sell them to grocery stores or only sell them to other people. They're all prepared the same way.
Just if I think I understand your question. I'm sorry if I didn't address it directly. You're quite right. When the donuts are prepared, they're all prepared at the same time, although there is a distinction between glazed donuts and the way that the caked and processed donuts are prepared, which are prepared the shift before they're actually sold. But so we looked at, you know, we looked at three different methods of proof, and some of them focused on the consumers because we thought that's an objective manifestation. But looking just at our production process, the fact is that our business model is based on the premise that some of the donuts will be sold to be consumed immediately. I mean, these are usually the hot donuts that we advertise at a limited period of time in the morning, afternoon when we make them. But the large portion of our donuts is intentionally prepared in advance.
But so you don't prepare it differently, or you do. I mean, do you have segregated sections, or some when they come off the line, you know, go immediately into boxes for later use, and some are kept hot and fresh in the front, or how other than by later use do you?
They actually the way that they're prepared is the glazed donuts are prepared at the same time. These are, if a customer walks in while they're being prepared, he can ask for hot glazed donuts as opposed to a different donut.
I've seen the product, the production line is very fascinating, but I wasn't trying to get in so much about that as just prepared for immediate consumption. Can the same donuts, do we define that by how the retailer or how, recognizes they're likely to be used and some are likely to be eaten immediately and some not? Or do we have to have actually different production processes in deciding?
I don't think a different production process is required. I think what is required is that when you look at the company's production process, you're confident that over 20% of those donuts are not prepared for immediate consumption. I mean, in our case, about approximately 30% of the donuts are not even destined for retail. They're actually specifically destined for wholesale. So those are donuts that are being packaged and then shipped to grocery stores or other facilities. Even with the donuts that are destined for retail, which is at issue here, intentionally our production process is made such that only a limited number of donuts is actually offered for immediate consumption and is advertised as hot donuts. The majority of them are really intended for later consumption. So they normally, once the donuts come off the production line, they actually store it just in a stack. And then they're packaged in boxes, and the customers can ask them, they will ask for a box of 12, and so they will take them home, consume them over a period of time. So I think when the court looks at what exactly the statute means, it can certainly look towards the behavior of consumers. We had a survey that between 58 and 92% of consumers do not eat the donuts on the premises or while driving and walking away. They actually take them home, they take them to the office, they take them somewhere else. But this court can also look at the production process. And in our production process, we have shown below clearly that over 20% of the donuts are not consumed so that they will be eaten right away. Not produced so that they will be eaten right away.
But that you may sell them wholesale to the grocery store. When the grocery store sells them, they may be intended for whatever you want to do, but you can consume them immediately. They don't. Do you sell a lot of products frozen for people to take home with them to eat months later?
No, we sell most of the products we sell. They will actually not be even warm. But even if they're warm, the directives and regulation says that those products still qualify. I think if you look at the products sold by a grocery store, Chief Justice, again, when a customer buys a dozen of rolls, which you prepackaged, it's obvious that he can take one roll and he can eat it immediately, but it's unlikely that he will eat all 12 immediately.
Am I wrong? I thought the wholesale sales are not part of this. Aren't they separate? And not there's no claim that they're, those are not being addressed under this. It's only the ones sold out of the store.
There is no claim as to the wholesale donuts, although I would say that it is relevant when you look at what type of facility Krispy Kreme is. It is a bakery, and so the business model of a store like Krispy Kreme is not one of, for instance, a restaurant which prepares food, you know, immediately to order. It's one for that operates differently. I was just given an example, Judge Swing, if I may finish just in a second. I was only given an example that in response to the Chief Justice's question, if you look at the products which you purchase at the grocery store, it may be that the customer will eat it right away, it may be that the customer will eat it later on, but you look at that product and reasonably you can say that that product has not been prepared for immediate consumption. It's been prepared far in advance, it's been shipped to a grocery store, sells it at this point.
This is part of your argument. You just mentioned that you're a bakery and that other bakeries may prepare other baked goods and besides donuts, like pies and so forth, all of which are not for immediate consumption. and that the implications of this decision would apply to all bakeries in that situation, right? Isn't that,
yes,
if I understand it, your analogy?
Judge Sweeney, that is correct. We believe that the implication of the court's decision here will have significant ramifications for the bakeries, because we believe that most of the retail bakeries, they produce products which are a large portion of which is not intended for immediate consumption. Obviously, there will be specific cases, and the Director of Revenue can look at the specific situation of a particular bakery. And to the extent this court is concerned that they would be setting a very broad rule or rule that will be difficult to apply, I would say that the director can always then enact regulations and provide guidance to the bakeries, to the consumers, to the public as to what precise proof an establishment needs to adduce, what are the criteria that the establishment needs to follow in order to show that the establishment qualifies under the 80-20 rule. All we had in this case was the language of a statute, and we had one regulation promulgated by the government that, again, to us, it seems clearly supports our interpretation that if cold food can qualify towards the 80-20 rule, then clearly there is some temporal element that is embedded in the statutory definition.
Let me ask you, I was curious, in your wildest imagination, when you were at Oxford and Yale, did you anticipate being in a Supreme Court arguing about Krispy Kreme donuts?
I would have to say that it's, since I like Krispy Kreme donuts so much, I think it really is a privilege for me to be here. And moreover, I don't think that there is a Krispy Kreme store in Oxford, and I don't think there is one in New Haven. So it's also a treat to have been in North Carolina, where you could see the production facility, you can really see how the donuts are made, and you can buy them and you can eat some immediately, but you can also take a box home.
Very nicely dovetailed into your argument.
Chief Justice, I see my time expired. I reserve some time for rebuttal.
Well, to illustrate the problem with Krispy Kreme's analysis, I was pleased to have my own field trip. And on my way down on Tuesday from Kansas City, I stopped at the Krispy Kreme restaurant or donut shop, whatever we want to call it, in Independence.
I went in. The red light on or something?
The red light was on. Hot and now was on. It was about 6:30 in the morning. So I don't know about when they turn on or not. But it was on, and went in, bought a dozen donuts. And then let's hypothetically say I ate one right in the store. In fact, I did. I ate one right in the store, out of the box of a dozen donuts. I got to my car, and I started to drive away. And let's hypothetically say I ate another one as I drove away from the restaurant. I was driving. I was coming to Jefferson City, and part the way down, I don't want to say that I ate another one. I didn't. I waited until I got to Jefferson City. I shared them with my colleagues. And I confess that I ate a third donut. It was about 2 hours after I bought it. And then my colleagues ate the remainder of them. Under Krispy Kreme's theory, those first two donuts that I ate were prepared for immediate consumption. The third one, out of the exact same box of a dozen donuts, was apparently not prepared for immediate consumption. And why is that theory? The reason
Well, of course, they do say in their reply brief that they're not saying you divide the box and say some are taxed at one and some at another. You look at overall at the percentages that are sold, and if it's more than 20%, then everything is under.
Agreed. And that's I agree. That's on the macro level, and that is to get to the 80%. But to get to that 80%, they have to say that those that were eaten right then in the store and driving away, even though they're in the same dozen, mm-hmm. would be prepared for immediate consumption. Now, that's how they get to the 80%. Now, I agree, one donut does not make the difference unless we want to get to
into and that gets to your answer to the question I asked opposing counsel, which is, in deciding what is prepared for immediate consumption, does that mean in your mind you know this percent is going to be immediate and this percent is going to be later, or does it mean a different preparation process, or does it mean they're all available for immediate consumption, then it's 100% immediate? Yeah. Doesn't a lot depend on what
The statute focuses on the preparation, the state of the preparation, not on the actual consumption. If we have to revert to the actual consumption, we have a mess on our hands. Then we have to do not only just the studies that they did, we have to do all kinds of surveys to find out, okay, was this, you know, what at the end of the day, was truly more than 20% not eaten right away? You know, and it could vary. It could change all the time. Instead, the statute more reasonably focuses not on the actual consumption, but instead on the preparation, how they were prepared. And that's different. Again, we return a little bit to our former argument in Warrenburg. It's about the time, place, and manner of that, of those donuts. It's how they were prepared.
Well, are you saying it's at the whether the food product, in this case the donut, is you can eat it immediately after it was prepared? In other words, the time is when it was prepared, or are you saying the time is when it is purchased? Because I think I hear you saying, well, yes, it's not the time that it's actually eaten.
Right. That immediate consumption is in reference to the preparation. In other words, and I don't know that I would accept the, I would adopt the commission's ready for, I can't even remember it off the top
ready
of my head.
To eat.
Ready to eat. You know, all kinds of things are ready to eat, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they're prepared for immediate consumption. So you take, for example, a bag of potato chips. They're ready to eat. But the way in which they are prepared, they're put in a bag, they're, you know, shipped, that's not prepared for immediate consumption.
You're saying it means available for immediate consumption.
It's available for immediate. But okay, here, the focus is on, the statutory focus is on how they were prepared. And the donuts at Krispy Kreme, the one that they're saying is hot now that you can take right there, it's not prepared any differently than a donut that eventually is put in a bag and somebody eats it, you know, 2 hours later.
Can you address the bakery question that was asked of prior counsel? Are you distinguishing based on things sold in single serving size versus cakes and pies, or and is there anything in the statute that makes that distinction, or how do you would you apply this?
There's nothing.
Other kinds of fresh
bakery is a difficult scenario. I mean, I suppose you could argue if it's a sliced bread that is more likely. That I would the answer to that I would say is that would end up being a factual determination that the director and the commission would need to make.
But you're not saying the fact that you just made a cake and somebody could buy it and go share it with their colleagues makes that prepared for immediate consumption, or are you?
No, I think that obviously they could take it and eat it right away. A cake is less likely to be eaten right away, and I get their analogy to 12 or more donuts and so forth, but the bakery situation is much different than this, and in that the Krispy Kreme restaurant, and we're talking about retail here, we're talking about people walking in the store, and when I walked in, it looks every bit like any other restaurant. It has seating inside, and you can purchase one, you can purchase three, you can purchase a dozen, and the focus is not on when I'm consuming them or how many I'm going to purchase, but how they are prepared. That their analysis focuses on three different types of donuts and how they're consumed, and I want to address those quickly. And that is, first one is donuts that are prepared 1 hour beforehand. Again, what is the difference between a donut that is actually consumed 59 minutes after it's prepared and one that's consumed 61? Absolutely no difference. They're not prepared any different. They're only 2 minutes or a minute and a half or whatever different in terms of their age. But under the statute, the question is, are they prepared for immediate consumption? If the statute was and is immediately consumed, it could easily say that. In fact, later on in the statute, it talks about consumption on regardless of whether. This is later on in the statute. It says, regardless of whether such prepared food is consumed on the premises. Obviously, they could have used that same language. They did not. They didn't say prepared and is consumed immediately.
And unlike in the prior case where not all of the federal definitions were desired to be incorporated, here I think opposing counsel suggests that it's appropriate to incorporate some of the federal regulations dealing with food labeling and what they call being immediately consumed, and
no.
You take the opposite position here?
No, that is, it would not be appropriate. There was no reference to the federal regulation. There was no reference to the federal statute.
But aren't what we're doing here trying to determine the meaning of a term that the Missouri statute does not specifically define, and so then to figure out what was the legislature's intent in using that term, we look to the dictionary to see what its
sure.
plain meaning is, but isn't what it's generally accepted to mean in the industry also something that we should consider in figuring out what exactly that term means?
It can be, yes, it's true. It can be a consideration, but that's if it's ambiguous. And our argument first and foremost is that this is not ambiguous. And it's not just one word. It's the phrase, prepared for immediate consumption. Those words combined together are not ambiguous. The question,
Is that phrase defined in the federal regs, or is just immediately consumed or immediate consumption?
That phrase is not defined in the federal regulations.
Isn't there a difference between something that is ambiguous, which means it's subject to two meanings, and simply figuring out what the meaning of something is?
Yeah. Yes. And figuring out the meaning of what something is, we rely on the plain language of the statute. And then the statutory construction of it, if you will. The
plain language is prepared for immediate consumption.
Yep. Prepared for immediate consumption, not prepared and immediately consumed.
No,
that's a completely different. And that's what they're arguing for. That is the base. That is the essence of their argument. That is, it has to be immediately consumed. Actually, as a matter of fact, but that's not what the statute says. It merely relies on prepared for immediate consumption.
Isn't their argument that there are several different types of donuts, and two of the three, they always prepare in advance, at least an hour in advance, and those sit on the shelf, maybe cake donuts, for hours before they're purchased. So if the time that they're prepared is the issue, then...
It's not the time in which they're prepared. It's the, are they prepared for immediate consumption? So again, you would look at all the surrounding circumstances of those donuts and how they're prepared, and not the actual time of and when they're prepared.
Well, I think the question goes to opposing counsel says you look at the time between preparation and sale, and you're saying you look when they were prepared, was it intended they be eaten immediately upon purchase or not?
That's exactly right. That's
and
exactly
so
right.
Which is right?
The second one is right, and that is we're not looking at the time between when they were actually cooked and prepared and then when they were purchased and consumed. We're looking at the state of the preparation, and were they prepared for immediate consumption? The fact that there may be, and I don't, the only ones that I know of from the record that are consumed, almost guaranteed consumed after an hour, are those that are the glazed ones that are then subsequently covered with another covering or something like that. The other ones, I think, I just butchered that one. I apologize. The other ones that I think can be easily consumed within an hour. But again, the analysis is not when are they made and when are they consumed. The analysis is are they prepared for immediate consumption.
This whole argument is making me hungry. but I'm trying to focus on the argument. So if we follow Krispy Kreme's argument as a practical matter, looking at when they were consumed, how would the Department of Revenue ever be able to calculate that?
There would be it would be virtually impossible. We would be subjected to the whims of consumers as to when they actually
are their record keeping. How would you dispute that?
Right. I mean,
what if they truly had what we would think of as wholesale hours? I mean, you're not suggesting that bakeries should have to have a separate little room where they make them for the wholesale, right?
Right.
I mean, or you're not suggesting that, okay, we understand your business model, some of it's retail, some of it's more like wholesale. Mm-hmm. This run is retail, then here's two runs of retail, and then here's their eight runs of wholesale? Is that what you're suggesting that they would have to do to get the benefit of what they,
right,
if we assume what they're saying?
And in fact, I think that's probably right. And in fact, if you went to the grocery store and saw the Krispy Kremes, you'll see that they're packaged differently. They're not in the same package. They're not in, if you buy a dozen donuts at the restaurant, they're packaged completely differently than you would see in the store. That's a different package.
Pratzel's Bakery, on the other hand, Pratzel's Bakery on Del Mar. If I live 3 blocks away and I could smell the bakery at 2 in the morning, I could walk right over to Pratzel's Bakery when it was around and buy retail wholesale. They didn't characterize it, yeah, by whatever was hot at the bakery, and they didn't characterize it wholesale or retail. By the way, Pratzel's was a great bakery.
They don't distinguish in their preparation as to which ones are going to go to store. And again, the wholesale segment of this is not an issue. It's purely what's sold at retail in the store. And even on like a dozen donuts, their analysis is if it's 12 or more, then we assume or we imply that that is bulk and therefore not for immediate consumption. But frankly, I mean, somebody could buy a dozen donuts, sit right there in the restaurant and eat them. And how they were not prepared any
that's
differently.
What's your point? That's what you did.
That is what I did. I ate one right there. I ate one as I drove away.
The wholesale's not an issue because the grocer will charge tax,
yeah,
on that.
Yeah, and they,
so we're
they
just
charge.
Talking
they,
about the retail sale.
Yeah.
Isn't there a way, as opposed to us hearing this argument, coming with interesting arguments, to have regulations and have hearings? And there's a myriad of interpretations,
right,
on all these different foods, from Wurmbergs to here. Can't you do regulations and have hearings and come up with tests and basically interpret your revenue statutes?
And that's what the director did. The director interpreted the statute, found that these retail ones, not the wholesale ones, the retail donuts are prepared for immediate consumption. The commission agreed with that.
The opposing counsel says one of your regs says the opposite, though. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's not actually a...
One of the examples in the regs.
One of the illustrations, this is printed from the website. It's not a regulation. It is a, I'm not sure what it is. It's a
frequently asked question kind of.
Maybe it's a frequently asked questions or something like that. But it's an example, and it talks about cold salads and so forth. And
it's not an adopted regulation.
I don't know that this is an adopted regulation. It's not a CSR or anything like that.
Okay.
It's just, again, I don't know if this is just a frequently asked questions, but it is, again, it's just an illustration. It's actually an illustration in the negative. Mm-hmm. So it's, I think what the reference there was to a grocery store, but I'm not positive about that one. The one last thing I would say, and I didn't get to the exception versus non-exception, but the statutory structure, in addition to the plain language, evidences that it's not when the donuts are actually consumed. It's are they prepared for immediate consumption?
Are there regulations that address this in your view?
There are regulations, but they don't address this. No, Your Honor. For the reasons described, the director requests that this court affirm the commission's decision. Thank you, Your Honor.
Mr. Chief Justice, two very quick points. First of all, with respect to regulation, the citation is 12 CSR 10-110.990. It appears at legal file 041. It also appears in our appendix, page 17. The regulation is example 3E, and I will just quote the first two sentences. A fast food restaurant sells cold salads and cold soft drinks. These cold items represent approximately 10% of total gross receipts. The regulation then continues, and I will summarize the first sentence. It says the restaurant's total food sales of items prepared for immediate consumption is more than 80%. Clearly, it's close to 90%. Therefore, the regulation says that restaurant does not qualify and must charge the entire regular tax rate. We cannot see a way to read that regulation to mean what the opposing counsel said the statute means, which is that food that is intended to be eaten immediately is always prepared for immediate consumption. Because a place that sells cold salads they offer cold salads and they offer cold soft drinks to be eaten immediately. So clearly, at least to us, the regulation shows that in 2000, in June 29, 2000, when the regulation was promulgated, the Director of Revenue believed that, in fact, if a place prepares some food in advance, puts that food in display, offers that food for immediate consumption, that food nevertheless is not food that's prepared for immediate consumption. Now, of course, the director says that it's going to be completely very difficult for them to administer the statute under our interpretation. They can promulgate those rules. They can hold hearings, as the Chief Justice, I think, mentioned. They can decide what the regulation should be. But I think until this regulation is changed, we do not believe that the Director of Revenue can actually argue that our products do not satisfy this regulation. Second point very quickly, in terms of focus on preparation. And if you look at the focus on preparation, we believe that we satisfy the statute easily. We have showed proof below that as many as 92% of customers who buy food in our stores, they do not consume it immediately. They actually take it somewhere else, they eat it then.
But again, does that matter?
We believe it matters because it shows how we actually structure our business. I mean, and certainly this was on summary judgment, so to the extent this court says, look, the proof should really not be statistical evidence of a consumer behavior, the proof should be of, you know, your production process and how exactly it works. We can introduce further proof, but we introduced, for instance, an affidavit by a regional manager who said, look, our business is structured in such a way that up to 40% of the donuts we sell are sold in boxes of dozen. These are not donuts that actually we intend for customers to eat immediately. And we can, I mean, this is outside the record, but we can introduce proof, and we mentioned it in our brief, that we have special pricing for donuts sold by dozen. We have special register keys for donuts sold by dozens. In fact, again, this is not in the record, but if you look at packaging, and the packaging, by the way, differs, the packaging that we send to the stores when we send dozens by the donuts, the only difference is that there is a clear cover so that the customer can see the array of donuts. And we also, on the donuts we sell from immediately, we don't put the nutritional labeling because the customer can decide which donuts to select.
But how can the Department of Revenue dispute your evidence of what percent of donuts are eaten on premises? As a practical matter.
As a practical matter, actually, what we have done, I don't think the department really disputed any of the evidence that we have offered. They just said that our interpretation is not the correct interpretation of the statute. But we've actually, in terms of the evidentiary proof, we've gone beyond just simply saying, look, we're trying to find out the difference. We actually have taken all the donuts that are eaten on the premises out of our refund claim. So the refund claim concerns only the donuts that actually are taken by customers and eaten somewhere else.
But how does the Department of Revenue know that those numbers you've given are correct?
I think the department did not dispute it below. So if you look at the undisputed statements of facts.
But if we establish a broad rule, we have to worry about how in general that could be enforced.
That is absolutely true, Judge Stiff. And I think the department can promulgate regulations to say, if you're a bakery, if you're any kind of establishment, and you want to meet the 80-20 rule, this is the proof you have to deduce. You have to do it by affidavits. You have to measure your production and your consumption over the period of this time with this frequency. Certainly, the Director of Revenue can do all of that. Right now, the director hasn't done it. All that the director has done was, again, an act, give an illustrative example in its published regulation, which tells us that items that are such as cold salads that are offered for sale can actually qualify towards the satisfaction of the 20%. So we have followed the only regulation that we saw on point. Now, to the extent that the director has any concerns about factual proof, I mean, that can certainly be addressed on remand if there is a remand. And to the extent that...
Other than that one example, which is quite confusing if we just sort of take that out of the mix for a minute, is there anything else in the regs that gives direction one way or the other as to how to interpret this?
We do not believe that there is any other example in the reg that's in the regulations that speaks quite on point. Although, Judge Steve, I think that example is actually quite clear. I think that there isn't the way to read that example to justify and to support the director's interpretation. The only other point in the regulation that I would mention is the regulation also expressly says that baked items, donuts, even if they're warm, are still qualified food. So clearly there was at least a conception in the director's mind a year after the statute was enacted that donuts, warm donuts, or even cold donuts, are a type of qualified food. So we see nothing in the regulations that, in fact, intended to foreclose Krispy Kreme and certainly bakeries from being unable to satisfy the 20 rule. And I think the court has asked a question about, you know, the implications for the baking establishments. If you walk into a place like Panera Bread, if you walk into a fire food bakery, you will see the loaves of bread that actually, again, they made available for immediate purchase, for immediate consumption. And some of the customers will buy a pre-made sandwich and eat it immediately. Some of the customers will buy two loaves of bread and actually carry it home and then eat it across over the period of 4 or 5 days.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Mr. Justice.